As I mentioned earlier, I think it's good for us to do some kind of spiritual check, right? The season of Lent is it's a powerful season because it's a season for us to reflect and to ask ourselves, where are we, you know, in terms of our walk, in terms of our faith, in terms of our prayer life. And so it is good for us to regularly check where we are. I believe many of us, you know, we go to see our doctors yearly, right? We go through all the process, the procedure that is, you know, and just at the end of the day, we want to hear some good news, right? To see whether our sugar level is okay, right? Our cholesterol level is okay, whether we are able to eat a bit more fatty food, right? And so we want to make sure and things are good, you know, we feast, right? We are so excited about what's happening. And I thought it's important for us as Christians too, right? To see where we are and to also check, you know, in terms of our faith, right? In terms of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray and then we will look at word with the word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, to come into your presence. We pray as we, Lord, dive into your word, oh God, we pray that you will speak to us, Father. Lord, we want to, Lord, look at your word, oh God, and we want to be prompted by the Spirit. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I ask you a question? Let's be honest with ourselves, right? Let's be very honest with ourselves, right? Were there moments in our life that we were upset with God? I know some of you have been Christians for a long period of time. Maybe some of us have been here from the day the church started, right? Or maybe 10 years we have been Christians, walking with God the way maybe Enoch was walking with God. Let's be true. Were there moments in your life that you felt, you know, I got some issues with God. And I'm really upset with God. You know, I've been giving myself, I've been so regular, right, in terms of my attendance, right, in my participation in the church life, you know, in terms of my giving. But were there moments? Yes, yes. Yeah, I think there are moments in our life. I think none of us can deny that, right? There are moments in our life that we are upset, right? We begin to question and say, Lord, you know, what's happening? Are you there? Kind of a thing, you know. Are you really there in our lives? No? And so the passage which I want to look today, it's a very important passage. But before that, you know, I was just looking at a study that was done in the U.S. by Barner Institute, right? And the study says about people who are having some kinds of doubts in their life. Very interesting study. I believe, you know, many times the figures that we see in the U.S. can also speak well for us. Do you know how many percentage of the millennials have some kind of spiritual doubt? I hope my... Hello, millennials, do you know how many percentage of them, right? And it's very interesting, I was looking at the study, right? It says in the U.S., 38% of the millennials have some kind of spiritual doubt in them, right? And at the same time, you know, when you look at, in terms of numbers, Generation X, right? Interesting, they are much more lesser, 23% of those particular generation, and then you know, the boomers are around 19%, right? And let me tell you, I think, yes, we go through, you know, phases in our life or even struggles in our life where we begin to, you know, question, you know, do I really have that kind of trust, right? If you look at Matthew, Jesus was telling the disciples, he brought the disciples aside in Matthew chapter 8, 26, and he was telling them, you know, you people of little faith, right? Because Jesus knew, you know, that their faith level was just going down instead of it was going up. So there are moments in our life, you know, all of us will agree that, you know, we go through some kind of, you know, the doubts and all that. And so the passage that, you know, we are looking at today, it's about John the Baptist. Very interesting character, John the Baptist. Okay, yeah. I think if we are going to look at about John the Baptist, I think all of us know about John the Baptist. He was a person who was actually the voice in the wilderness preparing the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before we look into John the Baptist, before we just say how come John the Baptist, I like to see how Jesus looked at John the Baptist, right? How Jesus view John the Baptist. I think many of you have heard about John the Baptist. You have read about him, right? He was a person who was chosen by the Lord to prepare for his coming, right? And he was always preaching and saying God's word loud and clear. But when you look at scriptures very carefully, what is Jesus talking about John the Baptist? Let's turn to Luke chapter 7, and when you realize, Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 7, verse 26 onwards, he says, "So, what did you go and out to see?" He says, "A prophet," right? He says he's a prophet. "Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." Can you imagine? Jesus is able to tell the crowd, this man is not an ordinary man, right? I can rubber stamp, this man is a prophet. And not only that, can you imagine? Jesus said that words after John sent his disciples to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" After John has sent the disciples, Jesus gave the answer to John's disciples. And immediately after that, he's looking at the crowd and he's saying, John the Baptist is more than a prophet. Right? He's, in verse 28, he says, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Right? After the question that John has raised, Jesus is saying, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And so Jesus is saying, this man is not an ordinary man. Right? There is no one greater than John. Many a times we say, this person is the greatest speaker. But according to Jesus, Jesus says, there is no one greater than John. But John had some doubts. John was concerned about certain things. Probably he was wavering. And some scholars say there are two schools of thought. One school of thought is, maybe John has some questions. Is Jesus the real Messiah? And another view is John's disciples also had some kind of questions, right? Is Jesus the Messiah? Should we follow you, John? Or should we follow Jesus Christ? And so two kinds of ways, people were looking at it. It could be John, or it could be the disciples who were, having some kinds of doubt. So when I look at this particular passage, I was asking myself, how could John, can you imagine, how could John raise a question like this? He's asking Jesus, he's sending his disciples, Lord, are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? Come on, can you expect this from John, who's the greatest according to Jesus? There is no one greater than John. I was looking at the life of John, and I realized he was a great person. If you look at, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 onwards, if you look at the words of Matthew writes in verse 2, the message of John the Baptist, and John was preaching. He was not just an ordinary preacher. This man, he was a bold preacher. He was preaching in verse 3, in chapter 3, he says, in chapter 2, chapter 3, in verse 2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he was so powerful, he was bold enough to look at the people and say, "You need to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He knew the word of God. He knew why Jesus is coming into this world. And he had a very powerful message for people to hear. And then not only that, in verse 7 of chapter 3, right, if you realize, he's challenging the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was just challenging the religious establishment of those days, right? And that kind of a man, he was a powerful speaker. He knew God's word. He knew why Jesus was coming into this world. But even then, John also had questions. John also had some kinds of doubts. I was looking at, you know, John's life further. You know, if you look at Luke chapter 3, verse 11 onwards. Thank you. Good. Yeah, 11 onwards. If you look at Luke chapter 3, no, he's not only a good preacher, but he is talking about social issues, right? He is a reformer. He is talking about injustice that's happening in the world. He's saying that if anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, right? And anyone who has food should do the same. And then he's talking to the tax collectors. He's just challenging. He's talking about justice or injustice. He says, don't collect any more than you are required to. Can you imagine? He was not just preaching God's word. He was looking at the everyday social issues that was happening in the world at that point of time. But John had questions. Right? He had questions about the Messiah. Not that he doesn't have faith. Not that he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think there were moments in his life he felt, Lord, are you the one? Right? Look at another passage of John. I was trying to study about this great man, right? And he knew about Jesus pretty well, right? He says in verse 16 in Luke chapter 3, he says, John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He knew Jesus pretty well. He knew the messenger, and he knew pretty well the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Such a great man. He knew his message. He knew who he was, right? Because people thought he was the Messiah. He could boldly say, you know, yeah, I'm something like that. But he did not. He knew that he is the one who's supposed to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? John had some doubts. A great preacher, a man who was able to challenge the religious establishment, a man who was able to talk about injustice issues, social issues. He knew the Messiah pretty well. He knew that he is not the Messiah, but he too had questions. And that's why he sent some of his disciples, right, to ask, are you the one, or should we wait for another? I ask myself, why? Why? Right? Why John was so powerful, right? A person was a reformer in those days. A person was challenging the authorities. Not only that, he rebuked Herod, because Herod was having an illegal affair. And he was able to, can you imagine, he was able to speak about the ruler of those days. You don't do that today, right? He was able to challenge the authority of those days. But this man had doubts. Why? You know, one of the reasons I begin to see, and, you know, he's sending the disciples. And the more I read this particular passage, I realize, I think this is what we normally share in our Christian life, discouragement. Right? Sometimes there are moments in our life that we go through some kind of discouragement. Right? What was John discouraged about? A great preacher, a great reformer, the man was preparing the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus spoke well of him, and Jesus said, but this John was also discouraged. Right? When I look at scripture, I realize, you know, a couple of things. Firstly, I think John was in prison, right? I remember when I was in the U.S., I worked as a chaplain in a medium security prison. Let me tell you, the food in the prison over there is much more better, right? And sometimes I envy these guys who are there, right? Because they have steak, they have chocolate bars, let me tell you, right? And they have nice fruits and all that. But where else? I was working, you know, I have to just see them, envy their food. And, you know, those days, prisons were not like that. John was in prison. Can you imagine? He was there. Those days, it was like a dungeon. you are left alone, less food. If someone comes, right, they bring food to you. If not, you are in total isolation. You are kept, is almost dark. There is no human treatment, right? They don't treat you well. And when I was looking at it, you know, and interestingly, John was in prison. Probably I was just thinking, and Jesus knew, and Jesus was around that particular place, and Jesus was preaching, and John is in prison, and John would have thought, you know, Jesus the Messiah, right? I was preparing his way, and he is around here, but he's not coming and seeing me. Can you imagine if you knew someone who was the one who was preparing, you know, your arrival, and he has been talking about you, preparing for your ministry, and that person is in prison, what do you do? Right? You lay aside all your responsibilities and immediately you want to see him and say, hey, how are things with you? Jesus was around there, but Jesus did not visit him. Can you imagine how John would have felt? He would have felt, you know, I would love to have the Lord come and see me and say, how are things with you? Just be with me and comfort me with his presence or even with his words. But Jesus did not come. You know, sometimes in our life, you know, when we go through, we feel as if God is so silent. Right? We love him. We have been very faithful. But when there are moments in our life when we go through, you know, questions or doubts or fears or loneliness, we feel, we don't sense the presence of God. We feel as if he's far away. Right? He's somewhere. He knows, but I don't see the comforting presence of God around there. He could have come. And I sense the same thing that's happening in, if you read Psalms 13, you know, the psalmist is writing in a very powerful way. He says, you know, Psalm of David, a person was after God's own heart. Let me read a couple of words of John, Psalm 13. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Can you imagine? A man after God's own heart was saying, Lord, how long? How long will you hide your face? And I think John was going through this. He felt that he was all alone and the Messiah was not coming to see him. Yes, there are moments in our life we feel as if God is not there. He's not answering. Right? I'm just knocking at an empty door kind of a thing. I don't hear any voice. And John might have been feeling like that. Secondly, when I also looked at it, you know, John had a different view about the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his sermon? His sermon was in Matthew chapter 3. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. So he was just preparing. He was telling people, you know, this Messiah is going to come. He is going to overthrow the Roman Empire. He is going to establish his kingdom. And that was the message of John. And he's preaching as a bold speaker. He's just preparing people. And just people were just coming and he was just baptizing them. But this is not happening. Right? This is not happening. Jesus is different. He's not establishing any kingdom here. Right? He's just coming. He's talking to them about repentance, but you know, Jesus is there just healing, loving the people, caring, right? And just reaching out. Many a times we want God to be the we perceive God. We think this is the way God should act. Maybe John was thinking and he felt discouraged. Lord, I thought this is the way, you know. But you are doing things differently. I don't understand. Right? I don't understand. Sometimes we tend to go through moments like this, right? Lord, I thought you will come and just save me. Right? I will see your presence working so powerfully in my life. But you are a bit different. Right? You look doing things differently in my life. And so what's happening, when you look at the life, now it goes deeper into him, right? And he's asking the question, are you the one who is to come? It's a very inward struggle that John is going through. I think he's trying to question the Lord. Lord, are you really there? Right? Are you really there? Are you really listening to me? You know, when I was reading this passage, I was telling myself, how should Jesus respond? Right? Jesus could have easily said, John, you know, I thought you're the top guy, the one I can trust, right? The voice in the wilderness. But now no more, because you have started to doubt me. You have questions. You're wavering in your faith. Right? You're not there, John. I thought you're there, but you're not. Jesus could have immediately said, no, John, you're the least. You have dropped from the number one rank. But Jesus could have immediately said, what was the answer of Jesus? You know, I think when you look at the answer, it's very interesting. Jesus told the disciples of John and said, you know, go and tell John, right? Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those of leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. You know, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is telling the disciples, go and tell him that, God, I am still working. I'm still doing what is given to me. I'm not sleeping. I'm not fulfilling the mission that is given to me. I am working, not the way you want. I'm doing the things that God wanted me to do. You know, that is the way Jesus was answering. Let me tell you, there are moments in our life when we go through, God says, you know, I am working. I am doing something. Not that I'm not there, John, but I am doing. Maybe you don't realize that the blind can see, the lame can walk, the leprosy are cleansed. I am doing, I am fulfilling, not in the way that you expect, but I'm doing the way God wants me to do. Because you know why? We live in a world and time, we want God to do the things that we expect. This is the way that God should intervene in my life. If I pray, God should answer me immediately. If I make a request, you know, I should get immediate answers. That's the way we think. But God says, I am working, I am doing, but not the way that you and I want. And so this was the answer of Jesus. Just go and say, right? Just go and say. And he says, blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me. In other words, he says, blessed is the one who will, you know, will just hang on there. Will be just hanging on there. Will be just faithful. Dear friends, I do not know where we are. But let me ask yourself, where is your faith today? How's your faith today? How's your walk with the Lord today? Right? Can we say, I am like Enoch, who walked with God? Are there moments in our life that we are upset, but you don't see God's intervention immediately? You expect God to do things immediately or within a certain time frame. But God says, I am working. I am doing, right? Just hang on. And blessed is the one. Happy is the one who just hangs on with me and knows. And that's why Paul writes, he says in Romans 8, right? And we know that all in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have called according to his purpose. One thing I like about John, you know what? When he had questions, what did he do? He sent them to the Lord. That is very important, my friend. It's coming to the Lord. He could have just left his faith. He could have said, you know, I'm not going to pray. pray. I'm not going to do anything. But he sent them to the Lord. I think that's one of the great things that John did in his life. You know, how do people respond? You know, I was looking at the study, you know, by Barna. Very interesting. When people, how did they respond to doubt? And the survey was done in the year 2017, right? You know, many people, you know, they go to friends, right? Friends and family are 40%, right? 29%, right, when they go back to scripture, right? 22%, they go back to the church family or the community they belong to, right? 19%, they go to their spouse when they have doubts, right? 18%, they go to the pastor, right? Interestingly, 12% go to online, to Google, to find out what's happening, how do I deal with issues, right? And imagine, you know, this is the way we respond when we have doubts, we have questions, right? But John, he sent them to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He sent them. And not only that, you know, when we have doubts, what happens? When I was looking at that another slide, by George Barna, he says, when we have doubt, when we experience spiritual doubt, did you stop doing any of the following? And 45% of them, you know, they stop attending church or worship services. Let me tell you, Satan uses the tool called discouragement, right? 29% stop reading the Bible. 29% stop praying. 25% stop talking to friends or family about faith, right? It affects us. Discouragement really affects us. And so what we do, I think someone said this, and let me finish with this. He said, feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. Feed your faith, right? And your doubts will starve to death. My friends, I think as John sent his disciples to Jesus, let me tell you, the blessed place, the safest place, and the right place to go is to say, Lord Jesus, I just come because I have doubts. I have come because I'm wavering in my faith. Lord, I'm not sure. I'm just struggling in my faith. Lord, I just come to you because I know that you will answer. You will respond to me. John did that, my friend. He sent the disciples to Jesus. And Jesus answered. When I read the passage, I was trying to look at scholarship to see, did John send back the disciples again? According to scholarship, he did not send the disciples again because he was just satisfied. He knew. Jesus could have said, you know, John, I am the Messiah. Read the passage very carefully. Jesus did not tell the disciples, go and tell John, I'm the Messiah. He did not. He said, go and tell the things that is happening. And from then, John will know, right? And God says, just see the things that I'm doing every day in your life. All the things that I'm doing each and every moment of your life, right? I am there. I am with you. I am guiding. I am seeing you through. Just hang on for that particular issue. Just wait. I am with you in everything. I'm protecting you. I'm feeding you. I'm guiding you. I'm leading you. I'm giving you all the strength. But on that issue, you just to hang on. And so, my friend, let's feed our faith, and doubts will definitely starve to death. Let's pray. John could have said, you know, I have doubts. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to leave. But John he sent his disciples to Jesus. Because he knew that Jesus will answer. Dear friends, many times when we have with doubts about whether God is going to answer my prayer, whether God is going to do this in my life, Lord, how long? If you realize Jesus did not give him a direct answer, he said, John, the blind can see, the lame can walk, the lepers are cleansed. Jesus is reminding John, just look at the things. I'm working. I'm doing things. Don't just give up. And I believe God is telling us the same thing. I'm doing things in your life. I've given a good job for you. I've given you good health. I've provided you. I've given you strength. But on that particular issue, maybe you need to just wait. So my friends, just hang on with Jesus. He knows when. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for comforting us, O God, through your word. Because there are moments in our life, O God, that we waver. When we are in darkness, when we are alone, when circumstances change in our life, when we see things not according to the way we want, God. Many times we waver, God, but help us to come to you. Help us, Lord, to see the things that you're doing every day in our life. Our life is a miracle, God. Help us to see, Lord, the many blessings that you've added to our lives. And help us to know that you are working. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.